You may not make your mark in this world, but you can scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments on reviews, on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. When reporter Barb Ikus isn't talking to people, she writes about them in the Quad City Times. Garrison Keillor talks about the Writer's Almanac later on Scribble. Hello, Barb.
Hello, Don. It's been days.
Yes. Barb shows up occasionally on Saturday Morning Live, and we talk about all the stories she has written. And what we want to talk to you about today is, I forgot, what was her role?
Well, I'm dying to ask her whether she considers herself a columnist or not.
It's a good question. I do. I still do. I mean, more so when I was writing three times a week, when it's your soul, when it's your job. Oh, yeah, you identify as a columnist, but I've become a reporter again more than anything, and so I'm losing my feel for column writing a little bit. You get into – there's good and bad about that. Sometimes you become a little bit formulaic.
Explain that. What do you mean a feel for column writing?
Well, it's a hat I wear, and I hate cliches like that. When my mind is occupied 5 days a week at work with coming up with a column idea – doing my interviews for my column, my research for my column, and then the best part, sitting down to write it. That's my identity. That's who I am, what I do. When that shifts to being a reporter more than a column writer, it's a different way of thinking. A lot of people have a problem with that distinction, including me sometimes, but there is a difference. Even though I do a lot of reporting for my column, it's a different exercise completely.
Well, you have a more personal voice in a column than you do in a story.
Absolutely. There are so many stories that I would love to take, that I would love to steal for a column, because the liberties you can take.
Yeah.
I think it's made – the column writing made me a little bit better at the straight news writing, I think, I hope. Because, you know, just because you're writing straight news doesn't mean you can't turn a colorful phrase or find a new way to describe something or just – you know, be more of a scene setter.
But, you know, it seems to me the thing that I found terrifying about the idea of writing for a newspaper, particularly as a reporter, you don't have much time to polish anything.
No, you have to get accustomed to that. You also have to trust your editors. It is scary.
Yeah, and you mentioned trust your editors. You know, I try to self-edit as I go, but then I write. You know, I'm strictly a column writer.
I know it.
But when you are dealing with who, what, why, when, where, and you're fighting a deadline, you really have to have all your equipment right there at the moment.
You do, and it's a paralyzing fear. And you know this from having to schedule guests every weekend for a show, and sometimes things happen. Somebody's ill or whatever. Sources are imperative. Without them, I don't have a story. And I will, you know, I've literally gone outside, you know, chasing people down, following people around, looking for the source who's not answering his phone or, you know, his email or whatever. And, well, he's down at the river fighting a flood. Well, I'll go find him. Mm-hmm. Because they're a necessity for a news story and for a lot of columns as well.
When I think of a columnist, though, Barb, I think of somebody who has developed a formula, you know, a voice, so that if I read it, I recognize it. But you seem to have a voice to suit almost any occasion. You know, I've read you when you've been angry as hell. I've read you when you've been crying. I've read you when you've been funny. I mean, you seem to be able to adapt your style to more than just the Barb Ikus columnist.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Well, it's a compliment.
I know what you mean, but I think those voices that are so specific to a columnist, they often have, you know, Maureen Dowd, or maybe you're talking about, people have a style, but they also have a tone. You don't, if a humorist, you know, Irma Bombeck very rarely made you cry.
Right.
Because that wasn't her shtick.
But and when you read Irma Bombeck, you knew you were reading Irma Bombeck.
Oh, sure.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
And that's part of the delight of a columnist. You read a columnist because not because of what they might say, but just because you like that voice.
Right. Roy Coe wasn't ever going to be warm and fuzzy.
No.
But that was him. And I know what you mean. And I took it as a compliment, even though I'm not sure it is, because I think that voice is important. I think people having an expectation is kind of important. At the same time, there's really nothing wrong with a surprise.
Well, so, and you, to me at least, are always surprising, because I don't know, you know, what when something upsets you, it really upsets you, right?
Yeah, I surprise myself sometimes. And the other thing is, I don't always agree with me. I've looked back at a column.
I've been there.
You have, haven't you? You look back at something and you go, oh, wow, ouch. What was my problem?
Yeah, that is always worrisome, and I seldom do it. But I have copies of all my columns somewhere, and I remember once I picked up a album that had them in there, and I started paging through them, and I thought, did I really write that? I guess I did. And what was I thinking?
But of the thousands I've written in 20 years, there's only been one that I can name that I really was almost ashamed of. And that was when I wrote about Tom Kilbride, the Illinois Supreme Court Justice. He'd taken a terrible fall on a bicycle ride, and I stood on my head trying to get some information. For heaven's sakes, he's, you know, how is he? Is he alive? Is he dead? What, you know? And I was very flippant about it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that he was quite badly injured. And just the Christmas before last, I ran into him at Walgreens on 7th Street in Moline in the parking lot, and it was snowing. And I hustled up to him. I'm sure I scared the hell out of him in the dark, in the snow. And I hustled up to him, you know, and I'm all bundled up in a coat. And I said, hey, I introduced myself. And he was gracious, way more gracious than I deserved. And I said just what I said to you in all my columns. There's one I regret, and that's the one I wrote about you, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't spend another minute worrying about it. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Just about makes me cry thinking about it again, because he really let me off the hook.
Well, you are an emotional person.
I am, I know.
Yeah, it's and sometimes, you know, emotions can get to you. They really can. And one of the things that I worry about is, you know, how do you stay calm all the way through this when you're just as angry as you can be? But let's stay calm. Let's do this in a measured way. This guy is a jerk, but let's take this.
Well, that's
carefully.
Why choosing words slows you down. And, you know, it really requires a lot of you when you're stringing words together, and the responsibility of that, and also the, you know, you having a head of steam, boy, you can just type like crazy. But then when you go back and read it, you can see that. And sometimes that works. Sometimes that's okay. A lot of the time it's not. You're right. It measures you.
Yeah, that's true. It's and that's why I know when I finish a column, I print it out, lay it aside, go do something else, then come back and read it. And sometimes I just throw it away and start again.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever thrown away.
Well, I throw away.
Probably should have some, but I make that commitment and then it's off to the races.
It is hard to do that, and that's only happened once or twice that I've just decided, let's scrap this and start over. But generally you find the bones of what you want in there. They're just badly fleshed out, and you have to. Well, I sound as if I spent a lot of time at writing a column, and I don't.
Well, I had a little flash of envy when you talked about setting something aside and then coming back to it. That's a luxury.
Yeah,
especially
is.
When you know when I was doing three a week. There just wasn't
1 a.m. in the morning. No one is judging.
Yeah, by then my deadline's long past. I don't know how Wondrum has done it. Honestly, you know, for years and years doing all those columns a week.
Well, he used to do one a day.
I know.
You know, and do other things.
Right. That was fairly astounding, really.
Yeah,
I remember when they assigned him that. I went over to see him. And the
was he drunk?
No, he said, got an idea for a column. I thought that was astounding that they would ask him to do one a day for years. It's just amazing.
He, for a long time, Bill had a prescription pad, a page off a prescription pad taped to his office door, and a doctor had written on it, go to four columns a week. And it was signed by some physician.
Well, I don't know how you do three. I mean, if I didn't have time to sit there and say, well, I ran out of pencils, I guess I'll start tomorrow. Well, it's already Thursday. Monday I'm going to start.
For sure Monday, yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Unless I'm busy, then for sure Tuesday.
I know.
I've often quoted the late Murray Hurt, who had a daily column in the Argus, 5 days a week only, but a daily column. And I interviewed him one time on Saturday Morning Live, and I said, you know, I look at writing one column a week, and I look at you writing five, and boy, I think, how does he do it? That's got to be really tough. He says, oh, I think you have the tougher job. He says, what? He says, yeah, you have time to think about it. He says, I don't. He says, I have to sit down and write the column. If I can't think of anything, I get in my car and I drive around till I see something that I can build a sentence around, then I go back and write a column.
Yeah, I remember him. Toward the end of his life, way at the end of his life, he had that pontoon boat he kept down at Sunset Marina, and he would go down every morning with his coffee and his newspaper, and he would mine idea for ideas.
Yeah. Well, that's tough. You know, I think that is, although I'll admit that quite often when I sit down to write a column, I've thought about several things, and I sit down, and the first thing that I write turns out to be what I'm going to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be anything I'd been turning over in my mind.
Do you keep a notebook of ideas for columns?
I was just about to say, I've forgotten more column ideas than I've written. Yeah. And I sometimes will jot it down, but other times, and I don't know why over the years I haven't caught myself on this, because I will always say, I'll remember that. Somebody will say something, oh, I'll remember that. And then what I'll often do is I'll try to remember who I was with when the column idea came up so I can call that person, you know, maybe one of my sisters, or, you know, what were we talking about that I said that's a good column idea? So, yeah, I mean, and I carry notebooks in my purse, so there's no excuse for it.
Yeah, I'm terrible at that. I have an idea, and I think, yeah, that's good. I can practically write this column. As a matter of fact, I'll lie in bed at night thinking, oh, yeah, this column, and I'll practically write it in my mind. The next day, it's gone.
Yep.
I may have the germ of the idea, but the column is gone.
Mm-hmm.
All those wonderful phrases.
What was that column that was going to write itself?
Yeah.
But now, you know, you're back as a reporter, and I would think that's, certainly in the beginning, that had to be a tough adjustment, going from three columns a week to just pounding it out every day.
Yeah, it still is hard. And, you know, we can't always make up our mind, you know, what I'm going to be doing and where I'm most needed. And now there's really not a decision to make. You know, I'm just pressed into action every day to feed the daily beast.
Mm-hmm.
So the column writing is a luxury. And it's hard to get sometimes to get back into it. I wrote something for Last Sunday, and when I read it, I thought, that's not a column, that's a story. We're mm-hmm. talking about that distinction, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it was something about the voice. It was kind of a breezy little storytelling way to write it, but it was no powerhouse column, that's for sure. And probably if I'd had a little more time and taken a different approach, it would have been better.
Yeah. I started out calling my column And Another Thing because I swung so wildly from doing funny stuff to doing serious stuff and in between.
Mm-hmm.
But I could get no direction from Rob Small. I kept saying, what should I write about? And he'd send me an article on how to write a column. I said, no, that's not what I wanted to know. And he just refused to give me any direction
at all.
Well,
he correctly figured you could handle it. You'd figure it out.
Yeah,
he's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man. But it bothered me, you know, the swings from really silly stuff to serious stuff.
You ever surprise yourself?
I've appalled myself sometimes.
No, seriously, have you ever written a sentence and laughed at it?
Oh, yeah.
I love to do that. That's one of my favorite things. And when I'm writing something really serious and maybe sad or somehow disturbing, and then to deliver this line that just comes into my head, that's my favorite. Because cadence is nice, you know, but it deserves an interruption from time to time.
Where do those lines come from? You know, sometimes when you're slogging away and trying to write and it's just painful, and then suddenly something clicks and you start off writing and it just flows. It's just amazing.
I wish I knew where it came from. I beckon way more often than I do.
Oh, yeah, but it does happen, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when it does, it's kind of magic. It's a great feeling.
Well, Bernowski would call that a leap of imagination, right? And what prevents most people from having those experiences, I think, are the judges. Oh, that's stupid. Nobody wants to hear that. That isn't the way they say it, right? And you have to kind of – I have to trick the judge to get out of the way. And then these ideas pop into your mind, right? Or you have a brainstorm. I mean, look at all the words by which we describe that, a brainstorm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you wrote columns in the Rock Island Lines. They were just
– Well, I didn't think of them as columns.
No, they were, though.
But there I do – I mean, I did develop a persona. Mm-hmm. And that's why I admire Barb so much for being all sorts – you know, it's – like I can be a flute or I can be a saxophone. There's an organ there with all the stops pulled out sometimes, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you seem to be any instrument that is demanded by the occasion, I think. And that amazes me.
Yeah, it's an interesting field. Reporting has always terrified me. I thought that's something I could not do.
Well, it is scary. And there's hardly ever an assignment that I go to that I don't feel a little bit of, not panic really, but a little bit of anxiety. Is this going to work out? Am I going to remember all the questions? Am I going to get all the quotes right? That sort of, I'm not sorry that I still harbor this insecurity, because I think it's healthy. It keeps me on my toes. If I just, you know, smugly wandered into every assignment, I think I would miss some things.
Well, it's like an actor who doesn't experience some degree of stage fright before going on stage.
Mm-hmm. Probably exactly the same.
He's in trouble
because
he's just not going to connect.
Right.
You have to have that little edge all the time. But it's an interesting profession.
It's a great profession.
It is a great profession. And you are great at it, Barb.
Well, thank you. God, you guys are great for me.
Yeah.
Can I come hang out tomorrow and we can talk about other things I'm good at? Well, no, actually, this is it, isn't it?
I was going to say, what other things? Barb Ikus, reporter, columnist for the Quad City Times, has been our guest today. And thanks a lot, Barb.
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you both.
And with that, we'll go to Garrison Keillor.